Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Cody Decker, ex-unprofessional professional baseball player.
The old men crew coming out, well, back in my day, I only made $750. Guess what? I only made $750, and it was 8 years ago. You played in the 70s, you moron.
Former major leaguer.
I'm going to ask you a simple question, dude. Yes or no? Do you think the Dodgers, even with all of these injuries, do you think the Dodgers get to 100 wins? Because get ready for this. I still think they're going to get to 100 wins. At some point, people are going to start coming off the IL, and September is going to roll around, and they're going to start ramping it up and just decide to go 25-4 in the last month of the season.
Cody Decker on The Score.
Oh, I love a little Alice in Chains to start the 1 o'clock hour. We go to the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today, and that is where we find our friend Cody Decker. He is the host of Bet for the Cycle Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the BetMGM network. And I'm already laughing, Cody, at your reply to our post on Twitter that you were going to be on the show. What's the issue?
What in the living hell is that photo? You thought that was an appropriate idea? What is that? I didn't know that photo existed, let alone a photo of me 15 years ago, apparently mid-sneeze. Don't be afraid to take care of your boy. I'm not getting paid for this. You can at least be polite, people.
Wow. You're in a Padres hat, and you look like you just have like a lot of swag. Like your chin is up a little bit. You've got
It looks like I'm drunk.
You look a little stuck up, I think. You got a little smirk. That's what I'm seeing.
The man. He looks like he's the man.
Marshall, look at this and tell us what you think.
No, I see it. He looks like he's the man.
It's a Jay Cutler look. That's what it is.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's a good comp.
Jesus.
That's a good comp.
Put the cigarette.
That's not a good comp. That is a bad comp.
It's a comp of the picture, not of the people.
Dude. Could you Photoshop a cigarette into that picture and look like Jay Cutler's cigarette photo?
That's totally what it would. I win.
Well, I think you look much better now because people can see that a Caucasian male can be indeed bald and look great.
He's rocking it. He's rocking the bald and the beard. Oh, and you got your coffee out. Let's kick it old school. I have my caffeine ready, too. Cody always brings the heat.
Cody, you're clearly wired right now, which I love. We need that little 1 o'clock jolt here.
That's right.
On Raheemy and Harris featuring Mark Grody. I got to start with this. I'm really concerned about this next series for the Cubs, but I love it in terms of a baseball purist who loves good pitching. These next three pitching matchups with the Brewers, I'm in love.
Mm-hmm. Why specifically are you in love with the pitching matchups with the Brewers?
Because,
I'm just curious.
Because I feel like this is as good of a three-man rotation they've faced in a series in a long time. When you're talking about Freddie Peralta, really, I'm excited about the young kid that they just called up, Mazeroski. That's where it starts. But the other two guys are guys with major league credentials, if you will.
Big time. And also the big problem that I do have with the Cubs is that not a lot of the Cubs have great numbers against the three guys that they're about to face, which is problematic. But I'm actually very excited to watch Mirakowski again as well, because, my God, that was just pure magic. And keep in mind, I do not want the Brewers to win. I'm going to make that abundantly clear. I hope this guy K's everybody through five and they pull him and then the Cubs win. But abundantly clear, like this Brewers team is a team to watch out for going forward. Their pitching just always seems to sprout up from nowhere. Peralta's already got a track record as good as anybody in Major League Baseball. But the fact they're at 39 wins right now, the fact that this team subtracted two potential Cy Young guys over the last 2 years, one due to injury and one due to a trade, the fact that they let Adames just go over to San Francisco, the fact that Yelich is still kind of doing it, this is the only team, honestly, in the Central. I thought it was going to be the Cincinnati Reds that were going to take a step forward, but this is the team in the Central. I think the Cubs do need to be very worried about as the season goes forward.
Interesting. Thank you, because Mark Grody's like, what are you guys worried about? There's nothing to see here. And I'm like,
sorry.
Cool, they've only won the division how many years in a row?
Look, man, one of these years, the magic is going to wear off. Like, I don't think that Milwaukee is bad. I just don't have the same fear. I mean, you mentioned one guy. One big reason is one of the guys you mentioned that's Willie Adames, who every time he came up against the Cubs, he would get an RBI in some way, shape, or form, or just do something that would piss me off against the Cubs. I just don't think that they are what they were in either of the last 2 years, which were obviously good years
you
for Milwaukee.
You said that
Brewers.
Last year, though, that you didn't
no,
think they
I
were
did not,
as
no,
good.
What was all that one in a million talk?
No, I mean, at the very beginning, I think I was like everybody. Everybody was like, how are the Milwaukee Brewers winning? With then it was no-name pitchers. So It was really baffling last year. I just can't see it again. But, like, they're going to be around, but I mean, when I think around the Cubs, I think 6 to 8 games back eventually. In the division.
Maybe. I hope you're right. But here's the thing. I played for Pat Murphy, and I know how Pat Murphy motivates a bunch of no-name baseball players that you've never heard of in your life. And trust me, this guy is a motivator. He's one of the greatest con men in the history of the world. And I mean that completely as a compliment, because this guy gets every player to absolutely believe in themselves in ways you would never, ever imagine. I played for him for 3 years. Trust me. The guy got a lot out of me.
You know, Cody, I appreciate the self-deprecation, but your awareness about him and talent is truthful. In fact, like, we talked to Heidi Watney of Apple TV about how players going from, say, the Brewers to the Mets had to adjust because they knew they were going to get time in Milwaukee and therefore opportunities and enough to be a more accurate version of who they are. And you're also speaking to that now. This seems to be a common thread if you listen to people enough.
No. He's manager of the year for a reason. I mean, don't look any further. Honest to God, I know that everybody on the South Side's very happy about the trade and moving. Forgive me for forgetting his name right out the way. Moving him over to Milwaukee. Watch Pat Murphy.
Andrew Vaughn.
Oh, wow.
Watch Pat Murphy accidentally get 22 home runs and a .240 average out of this kid. Just watch him do it. I hope it kind of doesn't happen, but for Vaughn, I kind of really hope it does.
What makes you believe that? Like, what is it? Something he says? Is it just how he views players? How does he talk to them? What could get him to get that out of an Andrew Vaughn that we've seen drop off?
Pat Murphy's greatest asset is the fact that he could take a downtrodden player and remind them of why they're there. Mm-hmm. I watched him do this with dozens upon dozens upon I watched him get three extra seasons out of Jeff Francoeur after being around him for 3 months. I mean, the guy got me to the big leagues. The guy has gotten an outrageous amount. He got Eric Sogard like 7 extra years in Milwaukee. Like,
that's Parkins' guy, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. So wait. Is Pat Murphy a better manager than Craig Counsell?
See, I've never played for Craig, so I can't actually answer that question.
Hold on a second. What was that look? Marshall just rolled his eyes at that question that I just asked. Marshall, do you care to add something here?
What has he done more than what Craig Counsell?
No, but
has done?
Listen to what Cody is saying about him. He's saying he's the great. He's giving examples that, and I'm being serious. Like did Pat Murphy deserve the credit that Craig Counsell got?
Oh, no. I got to tell you this. I know a lot of guys that have played for Craig Counsell and absolutely love Craig Counsell. And keep in mind, I want to remind you, who brought Pat Murphy in? Craig Counsell.
Okay.
Craig Counsell played for Pat Murphy at Notre Dame. That was a personal relationship. Yeah. And frankly, I was thrilled like hell that Pat Murphy got the opportunity. I thought Pat Murphy was going to leave a couple years earlier for that Mets job when he was actually interviewing for it. Pat Murphy is a guy that got basically tossed out of the NCAA because he broke every rule humanly possible. Mm. And worked his way up from the Padre organization to that team's manager. And he won manager of the year in his first year as a full season manager. There's nothing honestly do not believe this man can't accomplish. That being said, is he a better manager than Craig Counsell? I think that's just more of a selective thing. It depends on who you ask, I guess.
Okay, so we're talking a lot, Cody, about this stretch that the Cubs have right now between now and the All-Star break. They don't face a team with a losing record. I noticed you mentioned Milwaukee being kind of a real team. St. Louis, Cincinnati, you're not as concerned. I'm concerned about the Reds because I've been concerned about them since they hired Terry Francona. Mm-hmm. And they seem to have picked it up lately with series wins over Arizona, Cleveland, Detroit. Now they've got up next the Twins, the Cardinals, the Yankees, and the Padres all in a row. It seems like a very definitive stretch for a lot of these teams in the NL Central that will shape what's going on heading into the month of July.
I mean, this next month will make or break the Reds, depending on how they play. I honestly think they're too streaky offensively. I think pitching-wise, I think they can go toe-to-toe with just about anybody, especially in the Central. The Brewers are a team that just worries me because they just seem to do this every single year with players that you've never heard of over and over again. The thing that worries me about the Cubs more than anything else is their pitching staff, especially in that back end of the bullpen. There's a lot of high ERAs in that back end of the bullpen, and not to mention a lot of high ERAs at the back end of the starting staff. The Pirates are never going to do anything because we all know that because we're all not idiots. At the end of the day, the Cardinals, I firmly believe, are going to fall off a little bit. I don't love that pitching staff. I think they're playing a little bit above where they currently are. But what I'm really interested in is what are the Cubs going to do with the trade deadline? Because we have a lot of buyers and not a lot of sellers. If the Braves decide to become sellers, this becomes a very crazy market. Because could you imagine if Chris Sale is available in 1 month, everybody and their cousin's going to throw everything they can at him to get their hands on that. If the Arizona Diamondbacks decide to sell, which because they're still hovering around 500, I think they should. That's going to be fantastic because this is a team that should be a playoff contender and they seemingly can't get over the hump.
We're talking to Cody Decker, our friend, the former major leaguer and host of Bet for the Cycle on the BetMGM network. Cody, I've talked to Russ Dorsey about this, our friend who works for Apple TV, Yahoo Sports. I think there are three teams that could make huge waves for anyone trying to make the playoffs in this trade market if they either accept their fates or accept that what they have maybe can't get them there. And that's, as you mentioned, the Braves. I think it is also potentially the Diamondbacks, just based on injury to Burns alone, Corbin Burns. And then also the Rangers, who we just saw face the White Sox over the weekend. If any of those three teams decide that they need to retool, this could be a remarkably different trade deadline.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The one team that I think, honest to God, should put everything they can into winning is the Texas Rangers, because that AL West is a dreadful division. Right now, the Astros are just winning it by default. The Mariners are the most frustrating team in Major League Baseball, because if you're a fan of any team in the world, you should also be frustrated with the Seattle Mariners, because they figured out the hard part. They have young, unbreakable pitching. And all of a sudden, the young, unbreakable pitching is not pitching to their capability. So now the one thing that they do right, they're not even doing right. The one thing they can never do right was hit. And now they got a guy who has leading Major League Baseball in home runs, yet they still can barely get over 500. That AL West is so winnable. The Rangers, it would almost be malpractice to not go for it, because we know the Angels ain't going to do it. We know the Athletics aren't going to do it. The Mariners would only do it by default. And frankly, the Astros on paper are the third best team in this division. So of those three teams, Rangers should still go for it. The other two, I think they got to sell.
The Giants are not playing. What did you think about the Rafael Devers deal?
I thought what you all thought. I thought, like, Jeff Passan got hacked or something. There's no way this is real. Like, I saw the writing on the wall a few weeks ago, but I didn't think they'd actually pull the trigger. Seeing that Buster Posey is taking on that entire contract, and let me be real clear. I've watched every single Red Sox fan have an absolute meltdown, and I get it. I understand why you're having this meltdown. It's another franchise player that you've traded away to a West Coast elite team, and I get it. I know why you're frustrated about it, but you got to think about it this way. I think this is actually going to be a good thing for the Boston Red Sox. You just freed up $285 million that was due to a guy that can only DH for you and is not going to get younger and in better shape as time goes forward. All of a sudden, this team, who is starting to win some ball games, they're calling up a couple of their top prospects. Roman Anthony is about to make his major league spots happen. Who knows what we're going to get out of that? Another prospect, a prospect they just got in that trade, that 10th overall pick out of Florida State, is apparently a serious stud. They fortified a little bit extra with their bullpen and arms by getting their hands on Hicks. There might be a chance the Red Sox aren't that bad going forward. That being said, it's going to hurt for at least a minute.
I want to ask a question about a question we were asked not too long ago, about an hour ago, actually, about Shohei Ohtani now returning to the mound, set to make his first start of the season. Do you feel like what he does on the mound, if it's negative, can affect how people vote for MVP? Because it's bonus stuff, right? So we know he's going to get credit for doing well if he does well as a pitcher. But let's say he has an ERA that's close to five, or and they're losing games in which he starts. Would that give edge to maybe some other players, especially since he DHs and doesn't play in the field?
I mean, it could, but at the end of the day, I don't think it will. I think it's just the novelty at the end of the day that this guy's on the mound and pitching. That's insane. The fact that we're watching something that is that crazy. Also, seeing the movement that he's throwing against his own players right now, there's no world that I don't think he's going to go out there and be successful. It's just, how are they going to use him? Do they intend to use him as a starter? Do they intend to use him in some long relief innings? Hell, at this point, the Dodgers are currently a team that closes by committee, and Blake Treinen is one of those closers by committee that is on the 60-day IL. Why not occasionally use him at the end of the game in a closer spot, especially since they changed the rules about a pitcher going in and out for a DH, which is basically the Shohei Ohtani rule that they invented two seasons ago, just so we can get more Shohei. You know how good you have to be that they just changed the rules for you? That's amazing.
Well, depending on who you ask, they might have changed more rules than we even understand, Cody, but that's another discussion for another show.
Ooh.
When you consider the Cubs' chances against the Brewers, not in this series necessarily that's coming up, but in this division, so you still think, based on what you talked about to us with the bullpen, I'm a little more confident in the bullpen, I think, than you are. Like, I have more reason to believe, like, we've seen improvement out of Ryan Pressly enough to throw the ninth. We've seen Daniel Palencia pull off what he has, and he's thrown over 100. You know, I like the trio of former starters in Flexen, Pomeranz, and Keller producing the way they have. That alone, I'm more confident in the bullpen by than I am, say, other needs of the deadline. Like, what would you say the Cubs should be trading for, in your opinion, based on what you told us earlier, to contend with Milwaukee or at least ensure themselves a Central Division win?
I mean, another bat is never a bad thing, but at this day and age, in this current market of Major League Baseball, especially the way arms go down, I mean, I know the Dodgers are currently in first place, but make no mistake, the Dodgers have 16 arms, not players, 16 arms on the IL right now. Pitching is at a serious premium just because of high velocity, high movement, and everything under the sun. So frankly, everybody needs pitching. So if I'm the Cubs, I do everything I can to get more pitching. It's not that their pitching is necessarily bad, it's just, you need more arms. You need more depth more than anything, especially in October. Watch how Dave Roberts won that World Series last year. It was just endless depth. Oh, Glasnow's out? Well, how about this? Oh, this guy's out? Well, here's Yamamoto. It was just, the more bodies you have, the better, frankly, at the end of the day. So if I'm the Cubs, I get everything that isn't nailed to the ground.
Cody Decker, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate having you. It's great to talk to you and get the caffeine ready at 1 o'clock today for us. This has been fun.
What can I say, Layla? I have nothing to do between noon and 3 Eastern at the moment, so why not?
Don't threaten us with a good time, Cody Decker. We know
I'm
where to
so
find
bored.
You.
We appreciate so you,
bored.
Cody. This
yeah,
has
in,
been
in
a
the
jolt
summer,
of energy.
Yeah, no, we're definitely doing this again. Cody, of course, used to be on with Dan Bernstein and us earlier, like years ago, so we're happy to have you on again. Cody Decker hosting Bet for the Cycle Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the BetMGM network, and maybe we'll find a different picture of one of your mini Major League teams.
I promise
that
we will
choose from.
I promise.
I
we
like
will.
That picture.
I mean, it's not a bad picture.
Yeah, it's kind of badass. I mean,
it's also not a good picture.
There's nothing wrong with having a big league smirk when you've made it to the big leagues, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody not able.
You know.
We are just not looking at the same photo. It's the only thing I can
maybe
come
we're
up
not.
With at this exact moment.
Have you ever had a Dutchie? Have you ever passed
oh
a Dutchie?
Oh, my goodness.
What's a Dutchie?
That's the appropriate response.
If you pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side, it's a blunt, I believe. Is that what we settled
yes,
on?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. There's a song, and we've been asking our guests that. We didn't necessarily plan on asking you, but it just felt right here.
We or well, you?
Well, guys, as a card-carrying massive pothead, I do not pass. That's mine.
Pass. I'm not passing to my left pass. Side or my right side.
Buy your own.
That's my Dutchie.
Truths.
Be an adult.
Truths and promotions with Cody Decker.
My
we appreciate
Dutchie.
Having you on. You're here, Remy and Harris on the score.
I thought Sharon was caring, but apparently that doesn't apply to everyone.
You know, you live your life. Cody, thanks again. You can catch Cody on Saturdays on the BetMGM network. Mark Grody, I know that you have questions for others, as you have exhibited during the show, but we have questions for you.
Oh?
Yeah. We haven't done a Bears hit with you. Two words for me.
Two words? Okay.
Now,
okay.
One word for me, but go ahead.
Oh, wow.
In a long time. And so with minicamp wrapping up and OTAs wrapping up, I think we should ask you some questions about your biggest takeaways.
Bring it on. Let's do it. Let's talk Bears next.
Let's get ready for the offseason with Mark Grody next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who's calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
You have been very great news to see. You got your own show. You earn it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
I alluded to it last week. There were a lot of objectives we had for the offseason program, and specifically phase one, phase two, phase three, and we met that criteria. I think when these guys walk away, they understand what the expectation level is. I'm pleased with the progress we've made over the last few weeks. Alluded to it last week. We've got a lot of work still to come, but we're right on track.
You know who that is by now. That's Ben Johnson. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. And we're joined by Mark Grody today, noted Bears reporter, noted jack of all trades show host. Groats, McGoats, you got to go to Hallis Hall last week.
Totes.
Do you have any lasting takeaways from either what you heard out of the Bears players or Ben Johnson when it came to progress checks after the rookies were able to speak?
I think the lasting takeaway is things sound different from the coaching perspective, literally hearing the coaches on the practice field and then subsequently to the lectern. The players sound different. Everything sounds different there, and it should, because there's a new head coach. Things don't yet look different, and they shouldn't. I'm not saying like they have failed the offseason program. To me, although things are going to be a little bit different practice to practice, coach to coach, it's not like things were completely out of control and disorganized, even when, believe it or not, when Matt Eberflus was here during the offseason program. So things don't look – and here's what I mean specifically. The biggest takeaway, too, is like if you really want to get down to it, the offense still has a lot of catching up to do, a lot of work to do. And there were more days during the offseason program where the defense looked better than the offense. So as we conclude this, what it needs to happen when you get to training camp is that there are days stacked together for the offense where we're saying that the offense looks better than the defense. That Caleb Williams, oh, he looked good again. That's the third straight day that Caleb Williams looked good. We have not had that as of yet. Now, two offseason programs in a row for Caleb Williams. Hopefully in training camp we see it.
And to be clear, that's usually what happens at the beginning of a season or during practice or whatever. When you have a bunch of days together, the defense looks stronger to
typically
start with,
yes,
and
yes,
the offense ramps up, let alone when you're overhauling an offense and having a brand new playbook installed.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, life is easy. Defenses can read and react, and it's a little bit more complicated than that, obviously. Dennis Allen would tell anybody that. But yeah, it is. The offseason is definitely made for the defense to be a little bit ahead of the offense. But there just can't be this feeling of domination that we've seen through the last, I mean, even through all of the quarterbacks, through Trubisky, Justin Fields, and now Caleb Williams, where there's no doubt about it except for certain moments that the defense is ahead of the offense, and then the defense isn't necessarily that great. So I just want there to be those days in camp. It's so important that we start to see consistency out of Caleb
You're
Williams.
You're begging right now.
I know. Well, I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? Like, last year it was okay in training camp because it was Caleb Williams, and this is a rookie just starting his NFL journey and his NFL career. So to be out there and be like, okay, the defense played better, but you got two or three really good throws out of Caleb Williams. That was always nice. That was the disclaimer that we would always seem to give. This year, while there's going to be those days where the defense is ahead of the offense, I want to be reporting on the score with a Bears hit. Two words. I want to be able to talk about Caleb Williams stacking stacking good days together, not just stacking a nice throw here and a nice throw there to remind us that he has elite abilities.
Well, it just also hammers the point home that this is something that is so ingrained in team culture, too, where we're so used to it. You're used to watching it. We're used to that being the priority, whether it's ownership saying that, coaches that they've hired, fans. You know, the concept of them being able to work on things like this. Let's even just start with a two-minute drill that executes properly.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a big point of emphasis in training camp last year? Even at FanFest, from what fans were able to see on the field, I feel like that was something that was much brought up last season. And that was something that I feel like worked inside out. Like, if your two-minute drill is healthy, then chances are the rest of your offense is, too.
Yeah, and I one of the days that I wasn't at every single practice because I'm here, obviously, but there was one practice that I went to. It was the one that I was doing the report for you guys from the sideline, where that probably was Caleb's best day. Like, definitely his best, maybe in the last 2 years in terms of preseason, because, and I'm bringing it up, Layla, because he did execute that two-minute drill back on their own four-yard line, and he was distressed, chased out of the pocket, finds Alamide Zaccheaus about 25 yards down the field, down the sideline, and in a pinpoint place, and made the connection. And it was just a really good drive, like two really good drives that day. And that's what I want to see more of. And you're right. Like, you want that two-minute drill to be solid. We know that Caleb Williams had some nice moments that were pulled out from under him in the fourth quarter. The Washington game, if you would like, is the big fat example.
Detroit
as well. So you want to keep him running in that same direction in the final 2 minutes of the game. But we're starting to see some of it.
So I'm looking at the position battles, and I know we don't learn a lot until the Pats come on in camp, but from the conversations that you guys were able to have with the players at the podium, the coaches, do you feel like any progress has been made as far as what we should expect in 6 weeks or so when you're looking at left tackle?
Yeah, man. My gut is, and this is just where I am in the last like 48 hours, my gut is that it's going to be Braxton Jones to begin the season, unless there is more to the injury that he's been dealing, like, unless he's not ready, lights, camera, action for training camp. If there's a setback, then all bets are off. If he is healthy and all things are equal, my belief is that it's going to be Braxton Jones, because and Trapillo could take over that job, I think, maybe early in the season, depending on what Braxton Jones looks like. It might be easy to replace him, but Trapillo played so much right guard in college. I know he played some left tackle, and I know he worked out at left tackle, and I just don't know if it's realistic to think of a guy going into this year, this important season for Caleb Williams and the Bears, and have him start the season at left tackle. I don't know about
that. I get that you want to go with the veteran if he's healthy.
Yeah.
But I think we're still at a big if when it comes to his availability.
I think you're right.
Training camp.
I think
and
you're
this
right.
is very much a new offense and a challenge for him. That's not necessarily saying he can't do it. But the other thing I take away in this is, if you look at the three that you're talking about when it comes to who it might be at left tackle, Braxton Jones, fifth round pick, but veteran. Karan Amagaji, third round pick. You mean to tell me that they drafted a 6'8" guy in the second round and they don't think he's going to see playing time as a starter this year?
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he could in the first few weeks of the season, like if Braxton Jones at all shows some vulnerability, like unless Braxton starts and he comes out and he's just great and he can finally handle a bull rush and we're all good and we're all happy about that. But
I caught that finally.
Yes, the bull rush. But so I think I think he's their left tackle of the future. I'm just saying, like, game one, the way I feel right now is that it's not like you don't want to. Nothing can come to chance this year after the ripoff of a season that the Bears had last year because of the horrible coaching that they had around. They have put themselves in a position where they can't take risks.
We are talking to Mark Grody. No, actually, that's a lie. We're talking with Mark Grody. He's the one talking to us.
I'm huffing and puffing here right now. Pass the duchy, will you?
On Raheem
and
Harris.
Word.
Yeah. We're No Dutchies have been passed.
I need to calm myself down.
Episode, but that's
that
not
the
to
concept?
Say that he won't pass a Dutchie, or at least try to pass me a Dutchie on our walk home in the South Loop.
I am looking forward to that. By the way, yeah,
to passing the Dutchie.
Oh no! I just have to walk. We can stop by a place on the way home. If you
know
like.
A place, don't you?
But there's places all over the place.
I knew you would know a place.
There's
though.
Places yeah. don't all put that over the place. Place.
He's already there, guys.
Places all over
Mark
the place.
Mark Grody is already there. Hey. I just think to Layla's point about where they drafted him, and you seem to be more confident that he'll be ready for the start of the season than I guess I am.
Talk about Braxton?
Yeah, the way they're talking about him, it doesn't sound like he's going to get that work early that's needed in training camp with a new offense being installed.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, but could he still be farther ahead of a guy who hasn't played left tackle at the major league level, I was going to say, at the NFL level? Or Karan Amagaji, who we know when he was put in, and as bad as a situation as it was,
bat him clean up.
He looked terrible last year when they put him in. Let's just be honest about that with Karan Amagaji. So, to me, it's like maybe. I mean, I don't think if Trapillo was to start, I wouldn't be shocked by any means. But I just think that the edge right now is probably Braxton Jones.
Is that a bigger question than running back right now? Like is who starting at left tackle a bigger question than how is this running back situation going to shake out?
I mean, I think they're both important. That's just my take on it. I think the better question is, what's more important in Ben Johnson's offense? Like, what's more important to him?
I'd love to know the honest answer. That's such a great question. What would he say if he was being honest?
Then that tells you what the priority is, doesn't it?
I think the answer for him right now would be the left tackle. I think he's fine with the running backs as far as, like, I know I've got guys and I know their skill sets and exactly what they can do. I think there's way more unknown for him as a head coach right now with the left tackle situation.
I worry, if I'm in his shoes, I worry a lot less. And I feel like I have a lot more open to me if I know that I've got running backs who can attack all parts of your line. You have a running back who can run outside zone concept, and you have a running back that can run ISO duo of the middle. Do I think they have that enough? No.
No, they don't. You're right. You're right.
Like that, and that's how I feel. Do I at least understand who is playing left tackle? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think because you have no idea how good Kyle Manungai is going to be.
You better have an idea. You drafted him. You waited that long to draft a running back.
Seventh round, though. I mean, you don't expect seventh rounders
bored.
To maybe even make the team sometimes. So
shout out to Charles Leno.
Yeah, Big Chuck, man. He gets the last laugh. That guy, that's for sure. Charles Leno. What about Roshan? Roshan. Nobody knows if Roshan's good. I don't know if Roshan's good. He did some good things. They figured out that he could score touchdowns if you put him on the 1 yard line. Ian Wheeler. Ian Wheeler's walking back through that door. Maybe he gets you something. But I agree. I think at this point, the more critical area is running back. Beyond DeAndre, DeAndre Swift is a professional running back, even though he had a bad
that's
year.
That's what
last
I'm saying.
But who's beyond that?
You've got proven, but at least you have someone.
There is somebody.
At left tackle, you couldn't tell me who can step up and just definitely hold down the fort.
Will say this. When I know what I know about Braxton Jones, and the few times that I've seen him make plays in space or do something different, I actually really liked what he was doing, when he wasn't just involved in being a pass protector. But what do we know is the most important thing to Ben Johnson? Pass protection. Mm-hmm. So that's a big conflict when you consider it.
Yeah, and one thing we haven't talked about in so long, because it feels like it was like 2 years ago that it happened, is that, again, that in that interior of the offensive line makes everything else, while it's urgent, it makes it feel so much more comfortable knowing that you have Drew Dolman at the center, knowing that you have Joe Tooney as your left guard.
Jonah Jackson. We're going to see if he's what he is healthy.
Right. He's the mystery man out of those three. You're right.
That's Darnell Wright, baby.
Darnell Wright.
I'm not even asking questions about Darnell Wright. I'm asking my question about Darnell Wright at this point in my life is, can you catch a pass?
Yeah, wow.
That's an advanced question. That's well
no,
past intro,
no,
too.
I think he's there.
Throw a pass? How about that?
Yeah, both.
Both. What do you think about that?
And I feel like that's fair. Like, out of him. Yes. He's done his job.
Yes. Are you guys looking forward to training camp, by the way? Are you guys, like, excited about?
Of course.
Yes and no.
Yes and no?
Wait, why?
Because when it starts, I'm like, yo, can we play games already? That's how it goes. It's like a week
Marshall
of training
starting
camp.
Fights and joint practice. Yeah. That's what I just heard.
Yes. I'll be that guy.
Chase Claypool.
Come on, man.
I'm trying to think of the last guy that was starting fights. Chase Claypool.
He was trying to fight his way out of town.
Kyle Long, Akeem Hicks. Used to love him. A good fight.
You got to have somebody, too, who like just will do a little swipe every now and then. Like up.
Yeah, yeah. Like a little head slap.
Mess with people.
Yeah, yeah. A little head slap. Billings, Big Bill out there yelling at Caleb during his cadence.
We know Big Bill can catch a pass now, don't we?
We saw it. We saw it. Unless it was AI. Sick of it. AI. At it.
I think it's going to take over.
It is. We're all dead.
No wonder you want to talk so much about the past, the Duchy. Well, before all of that happens, and Groats has taken...
Are you sure you want to walk home with me today,
yeah,
Marshall?
I do.
You've definitely partaken in a midday show tradition with that attitude.
What is that?
Just the taking the fun out of things.
Oh, I did?
But, sure. You picked up where others have left off.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Dan used to take the fun out of everything. I get it now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a time-honored tradition.
You can say
his name. It's okay. It's I did
right. earlier. Oh, it's only one first show?
No.
I'm not going to say it again.
No, I was just trying to have fun with the concept of taking the fun out of things on a midday show. We all do it.
Yeah, we do. Bears.
You know what we didn't do?
What?
Win the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
You know who did? A guy who also had a major Father's Day situation that a lot of dads and parents can relate to. We'll find out about Mr. Spahn's relatable day next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Cozy it up. Don't need to make it. Two putts.
One! Yeah, that was an incredible putt that J.J. Spahn sunk to win the U.S. Open that eventually ended at Oakmont Country Club. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. I think that that rain delay probably would have been nerve-wracking if I was in a group trying to make something happen on Sunday.
It was definitely nerve-wracking for the leaders if you saw what happened to Sam Burns, a double bogey because he couldn't get what he needed from the officials because he wanted a drop because the water was so bad. But they're like, it's not that bad. You'll be okay. So he gets a second official, and he's also like, no, you're still good. And then he hits it dead into the rough. And at that point, Sam Burns'
push
for the U.S. Open was over, and he finished in seventh place.
Poor Sam.
Bad for Sam. Let's face it. The promise of glory with the end of defeat happens to many a golfer. But J.J. Spahn came through, and unfortunately, he had a bit of a setback on his early Father's Day morning. Listen to this.
Well, today I was running to CVS in downtown because my daughter had a stomach bug and was vomiting all night long. So I was just like, okay. Like, my wife was up at 3 a.m., and she's like, Violet's vomiting, although she can't keep anything down, and so it was kind of a rough start to the morning. I'm not blaming that on my start, but it was just kind of like it fit the mold of what was going on, the chaos. But my daughter always asks me every time dad goes golfing, she's like, were you the winner today? And I'm just sometimes like, yeah, I was. And then she's like, well, where's my surprise? But so today she's like, you're the winner today. Like she got to see it. Like she didn't have to ask me. So that was a really fun moment.
Aw, poor Violet. She vomits, but I think the surprise may have been their dad won on Father's Day.
I will say that he was sort of timid about whether or not that's a legitimate excuse. I'd say having to deal with your child vomiting before you go may not make for a very smooth start to one's day.
And it didn't affect him. He probably needed the 96-minute weather delay to get himself together.
Well, and to be able to do so, like anytime you have a sick child, you know, It's a nuisance at best, you know,
yeah.
And it's a major setback, of course, as you know. So I think for him to be able to have fun with that this morning, and hopefully Violet feels better today. Kids are so casual, you know, they can vomit like all day and then the next day be completely fine.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're like cats that way.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
That's funny you say that.
Like, it's true, though. Cats, they just don't care.
It's a natural part of their process. I had Dave, this happened to Dave the other day. And sometimes I'll just see throw up. Like, that's usually
Dave
what it is.
Dave is a kid, right? He's only a baby.
He's just a baby. Dave the cat. And I saw him throwing up. So while he was throwing up, I went over by him. I'm like, oh, poor Dave. And I was kind of holding him while he was throwing up. And he's like, I don't need all this. He's like, he throws up and then he was all good. His tail goes back up and he was happy. And I felt bad. I just felt terrible for him.
Well, kids and cats will puke and rally.
That's the
and
same
dogs,
thing.
Too. Adults dogs do that don't too. Care.
Hold on. Time out now. Adults do that too. You've never been like, oh my goodness, I ate something. I don't feel well. And then you throw up and you immediately feel better and go about
don't
your day.
You think about the Seinfeld episode with the streak? It becomes a much bigger production and has more meaning for adults.
I think it does. You're right. You're right. Because, like, yeah, kids, like, throw everything. The kids throw everything up. And, yeah, cats do. And do dogs? I've never owned a dog. I love
dogs. Dogs throw stuff all the time.
Dogs will hurl.
They'll just hurl it out. See,
everybody
the system's actually working.
Everybody just takes it better than adults,
I feel
basically.
Like things run through a dog more often than they come back up for a dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
So yeah, I can agree.
Yeah. You're a dog owner. Yeah. You're
yeah,
out
everywhere.
There.
Yeah.
But Robbie has a weenie dog that's also just a baby.
Robbie yeah, walked the dog. He's just a baby.
Well, JJ Spahn is a baby major winner because that was his first major, the 125th U.S. Open. You know how difficult this course was? If he didn't make the putt on 18, no one would have finished under par. But because he made the putt, he finished one under, which is the only score under par.
How old is JJ? He sounds young.
JJ Spahn is 34.
That? Oh, okay. So he's a little bit older. Just did never really heard.
And
is that a little bit older?
5'8".
Well, older
Let's
than I
go.
Thought. I thought he sounded like he was 26.
But
oh. Not that one's voice sounds that different between 26 and 34. I think.
Was like, what are you listening for right now, Mark Grody?
I also think it's cool that he's like 5'8". Like,
JJ Spahn. Just a little guy.
Show him what's up.
Aw.
Sam Burns is
he's
only
just 28. A baby.
He's just a baby.
I do think that cats and dogs are basically toddlers.
They kind of are.
Like, they do basically act like toddlers.
Well, people treat them like toddlers, so that's what happens. A reminder, caller 6 to the score contest line. That's 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout on Saturday, July 12th, with performances by Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. For tickets, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com. Is it bad that I don't know those two artists?
I don't either.
Not necessarily.
Not that I'm the measure of
Kane Brown has had some top 40 crossovers, so is Megan Maroney.
Oh, they're more crossover country? And like,
I think their hits have gone on to the top 40, and that's how I hear them.
I thought Megan Maroney was the gangster family in Batman. The Maroneys.
What?
The Maroney gang.
See, that I don't know about. Okay. 815, I feel you on this. Dogs will throw up and then go, well, now I'm going to eat this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, that's exactly what
Amen.
They do.
And cats just walk away from it. The cats like, what's next? You got like a shoelace or something you could fling at me? Whatever you need, Dave.
Nobody said that having kids equals having a cat, 773.
It's
oh,
very different.
Also with the country
there's
music.
Always somebody who just doesn't want to listen. I not know, only do I they know. Not listen,
did you
they
guys,
really don't want to listen.
Did you guys hear about the country music, how they're redoing the Grammys, like the category?
What?
Something about traditional country, whatever that means.
Because, you know, some people
guard.
Won some stuff that they didn't like winning, I guess. So they
Just because of Beyonce?
Of course it's because of Beyonce.
Good God.
That's where
she's the first person to cross over.
Also,
isn't that Taylor Swift?
Also, how did that music start again?
I believe it was people of black origin.
So wait, seriously, what are they doing?
Much
what?
Like, I don't know, rock and roll.
So they're having an old guard. What's it actually called? Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Oh. It's the traditional country category, or best traditional country album.
Like the twangy?
It's the They Took Our Jobs award.
Yeah.
That's the twangy stuff, like the Willie Nelson, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Country and Western.
Country and Western.
Have you the Blues Brothers quote that always cracks me up? Oh, we have both kinds. Country and Western.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that is a great Blues Brother. Yes.
I prefer half a pack of cigarettes, a full tank of gas, and I'm botching it.
So it's night of wearing sunglasses. Hit it,
yeah.
So we have best contemporary country album and traditional country album. I'll let you figure out who's going into which.
I can't wait until they argue about that.
That's like Hank Williams and all that and whatnot, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some football, right?
Yeah.
A Monday night party?
Frank and Alan Dan?
I... I wish I knew more country music artists, but I grew up in Alabama. I went to college in Mississippi. So I'm countryed out. Like, I can deal with country, but I'm not trying to like immerse myself in it.
I like modern country better, like the old guard, the twang.
Brody's a top 40 guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm a everything guy. Like, I'm like...
He likes hip-hop.
And Pearl Jam.
Or as he calls it, hippity-hop.
I mean, the bass is Pearl Jam, but I believe it or not, I give this impression that all I listen to is Pearl Jam. Like, if I just walk out of here.
You ain't my bitch!
Okay. Yeah,
if only we knew, like, a singer of a band that covers a lot of other bands that we could talk to about that.
Oh my God.
Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. It's Matt Spiegel's music.
I'm so happy to see his face.
Me too. Matt and Lawrence are back. They join us next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.